This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Pulled out. And there just wasn't enough to sustain it when there weren't events. If you make it a place where people are generally going to go without events there, then it's better. It always blows my mind when I've gone to a Brewers game. They have a sports bar in the, you know, center field area, wherever you come in, and it says it's open even during the off season. And I look where whatever park it is now. I mean, it used to be Miller Park.
It's like America Century or something like that. I think it's like an insurance company.
American Century Field or something like that, yeah. And I look around, and my first thought was, who the hell is driving out here just to go to this restaurant? Because you want to have dinner in center field tonight for more money than you would spend if you had dinner at the same type of restaurant 5 minutes from your house? It didn't make sense to me. But I get it. Some people are more into it. So it'll be interesting. But I think this sets a bar. And, you know, look, we all know that cash is king, and the money right now is flowing. And if they get two expansion teams when they sign the new TV deal, then the money's going to flow even further. The players are getting paid, but we're also seeing some decisions based on finances. I mean, the Luka trade is a big signifier, I think, to the players that if you're not going to take your craft seriously and you want this big max, you know, $70, $80 million year contract and you're a star player, but you don't seem like you're bought into being that guy, lots of luck on the open market. You're not going to get the same money, and you know it that's going to be on the players at that point. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that, and we'll cross those bridges when we come to it. But I would think there's going to be some new things coming down the road. I'm hoping Washington gets their situation settled, because around that area it's crazy. You just go from one neighborhood to another, and there's just an arena.
Yeah.
And it's like in the middle of Chinatown, which is, there's nothing wrong with Chinatown as far as I know, but
it's not like this is like this is not like the spot you expect to see an arena.
Right. Not at all. Not at all. And I guess that's part of when you're landlocked like that.
Yeah.
It's like there was a couple years ago they talked about Madison Square Garden. The Knicks may not get their lease renewed because the property itself was so valuable to the state as a train station that they were just going to say the hell with Madison Square Garden, you guys can find another place. And it's like, where do you put an arena in downtown in New York? And the Nets were able to find a place obviously in Brooklyn but you know, that's not going to happen with, you know, the Knicks, and they're not going to be able to just throw up an arena. And so you know, that went by the wayside, because if you took away the Knicks out of Madison Square Garden, boy, I would hate to be in that city when that decision came down, or the person that made it, because it's going to, you know, riots are going to break out. And all the things that go on in there and all the money it generates, it's like, okay, yeah, train station might generate a little bit more, but people need their entertainment dollar, and we're not gonna make that decision. So, we'll see how it moves forward.
All right, Eric, we really appreciate it, buddy.
I will, well, I don't know that. Yeah, I'll talk to you guys next week from Indiana.
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah, so what do we got? What do you got? Do we have any all-star break plans? Are we doing a Disney trip? Are we just hanging out with the boy? What are we doing?
Yeah, I'm hanging out with the boy. I don't know if he knows. It's a surprise to him.
All right.
So, yes.
Hopefully he's not listening.
One of the things you said is the place that I generally go. I don't think he's probably listening to the show. He does not know. I told him we were not going. I found a couple of good airfares and decided, yeah, he's worked really hard getting ready for this upcoming 13U baseball season and getting his schoolwork done and stayed on top of it. Grades are good. So I'm picking him up right now and not telling him after his workout tomorrow morning. We're going to head straight to the airport so we can get out of town.
All right, buddy. Enjoy it.
All right. See you guys.
Eric Hasztein, Memphis Grizzlies Radio Network play-by-play announcer. We come back. Cobb has written about P.J. Haggerty and where he stands amongst other guards in the country. Also, Jeff Borzello's got a story on Penny Hardaway. Tigers taking on USF tonight. Let's talk about all of it next when we come back on the list. Also, Jason Smith coming up on hour number two. Stick around. You're listening to Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. P.J. Haggerty. All right, Cobb. Spoiler alert. Where'd you rank P.J. Haggerty today?
So, we had our dribble handoff, which is basically a round table from our college basketball writers. And for this week, so the National Player of the Year race is between Jani Broome, center at Auburn, Cooper Flagg, forward at Duke. But there's so many good guards in college basketball that I wanted to get everybody's opinion on who is the best guard in college basketball right now, because I think there's legitimately 10 to 12 guys who you could vouch for. And I picked P.J. Haggerty from Memphis. And part of the reason why I picked him is because I think he's being slept on nationally. And this kind of came to my attention when I was on here with you last week and we were talking to Jason Smith, and P.J. Haggerty had just been named to the Jerry West midseason watch list. And I'm thinking to myself, he probably deserves to win this thing, but I don't think he will, because he's just disappeared from the national radar through no fault of his own in conference play, because Memphis isn't in the national spotlight because of how bad the league is. But P.J. Haggerty has continued to be incredible throughout league play. And here's the kicker for me. When they were winning games in November and December against the number 4 non-conference schedule in America, he was unbelievable. He was unreal. He was incredibly productive. And he built Memphis's NCAA tournament resume kind of on his back. Great supporting cast this year. Don't want to diminish that. But this thing isn't where it is without P.J. Haggerty. And so he's a top 5 scorer in college basketball. He's the team leader in assists, the team leader in steals. And I don't think he's getting the credit he deserves for how good of a season that he's having.
Yeah, I also think it's entirely fair to say this. They're not 20-4. They're not, to your point, what did they finish in non-con? Okay, so Auburn.
2 losses.
Arkansas,
right?
State. I think they had 3. So I think they went 10-3 in non-con against, as you point out, the 4th toughest non-conference strength of schedule.
Right.
They are not in position to be a top 5 seed. I think it's entirely fair to say it's like he's not the only reason, but I do think he's been one of the most important reasons why they are where they are.
Well, and I knew people would also pick Braden Smith from Purdue. Very deserving. Again, there's 10 or 12 guys who you could reasonably argue this for. I'm not saying you're crazy if you don't think P.J. Haggerty is the best guard in college basketball, but you cannot argue that he's not an All-American. So I hope that's reflected when the people who vote on these things, who mainly pay attention to the biggest national stories, like when they're going through and making their ballots for All-Americans and voting on some of these postseason awards, I hope they peel back a little deeper than just looking at the sports reference pages for the high major conferences, because if you're willing to give P.J. Haggerty a look, he holds up very well against absolutely anybody who you could put on that list. And he did it against Michigan State. He did it even in a loss against Auburn. So there's no better team in college basketball right now than Auburn. P.J. Haggerty had 27 points, 9 rebounds against Auburn on 11 of 20 shooting. So that's all the evidence you need, in my opinion, to validate the fact that, okay, yeah, Memphis plays in a bad league, but P.J. Haggerty's doing this sort of thing even when he had the opportunity against the best teams in the country.
I think the other thing that we're noticing, and I know Bill Self has talked about this, I think he talked about it last night. Yes, it's a bad league, and this is not me stumping for this league's. I'm not going Mark Few trying to talk behind the scenes to convince people that the league is better than it is. But what we have seen is, it's not like people are cakewalking through every league. I mean, I guess until Auburn lost on Saturday to Florida. I guess you could make the argument Auburn was. I kind of set Auburn to the side because
it's still tough on Auburn, though.
Sure.
It's not a blowout every night. I mean, Duke's the only team in America right now that's like just plowing through the competition. And even they took an L
Correct.
On Saturday at Clemson.
Correct. What we are seeing is it's really hard to just go undefeated in a league. And yes, the Tigers are not, you know, moonwalking through the conference like they did when they had, honestly, you know, basically an elite, like somewhere between a G League team and an NBA team in Conference USA, where you just roll the ball out. And it, like, the talent disparity is not as wide as it was then, where they can just curb stomp their way through the conference. But they are winning almost every game. Like, they've lost one game in the league. And I do think, because you and I have been talking about, like, okay, we understand that when the Tigers lose because of the strength of resume of the league, like, it's going to be a bad loss. Whereas you look now in the SEC, you know, unless you get LSU or South Carolina at home and you lose to them, like, there's not really a quote-unquote bad loss out there. I think everything else still qualifies as Q2. And so...
Yeah, and so
sorry,
yeah, to your point, Gonzaga, you mentioned the WCC. Gonzaga's got three conference losses at this point. Now, the league got slightly better by the temporary addition of Oregon State and Washington State, but it's not like the WCC is head and shoulders more difficult than it has been in the past. And then, you know, you go to the Big 12. Houston's got a loss. Arizona has a couple of losses. The Big Ten is relatively open at the top. The champion of that conference is going to have probably no fewer than four losses in the league. So the parity is what's across the board, kind of a new concept right now. And I don't know that necessarily applies to the AAC, because I look at a team tonight like South Florida, and I don't see a lot of great talent on that team. And it's one of those that Memphis should really go out there and take care of business. They're only, what, a 6.5-point favorite? Like,
yeah.
That's where it doesn't quite compute, because we've seen Memphis be so good against quality opposition that it does sometimes feel like they should win these games by more. But how often over the years have we seen Gonzaga struggle and end up in a close game when they shouldn't, against a Santa Clara or against a...
Not Pepperdine.
Your Pepperdine
no,
ways.
No, never.
it's interesting. There's going to be this disconnect. It's just a fact of the matter now. We're so far into the data that it's just a reality. Memphis is going to be tremendously skewed on the seed line versus where it ranks in the net. It's going to be a 4, 5, or 6 seed, and it's going to have the worst net ranking of anybody in its neighborhood. Okay, so what? You win the games. That's what matters.
Yeah, I was taking a look at this. What do we have? 31 conferences? Is that right? It's 31 automatic bids?
I think it's 32, isn't it?
Okay, I'll take your word for it. I just went through it.
31. No, you're right. You're right. Okay. You're right. 31.
There's 31 conferences. Do you know how many current conference leaders have zero losses in conference play?
Oh, I think there's one.
There are two.
Two.
And one is the Ivy League.
There you go.
Yale undefeated, and watch out for the Akron Zips. Don't let the Zips get hot.
Oh, they have the longest winning streak in college basketball.
Basketball
right
school,
now.
Baby. Basketball school. I think the other thing, though, because you and I were talking off air about this, and I've talked about it a little bit with Munns, but the other thing that really stands out to me about this season is, of the Penny Hardaway era, this clearly is the most stable season I've seen. And yes, I know a lot of people say winning cures all. Okay, I also think, though, this was very valuable for this season to be successful. And this is why. This is the season where, whether or not it was intentional, whether or not it was, I'm not going to say demanded, but strongly suggested, this was the season that Penny Hardaway, for whatever reason, all right, I'll try it y'all's way. Y'all want me to build, you know, a more cohesive roster. You want me to play fewer guys. I'm not going to go star chasing. I'm just going to get basketball players. I think had this not gone well, it would have been very, very, I think it would have been very easy for Penny to be like, see, this is why I did it my way. Y'all don't know. But the fact that this is working, and not only is it working, Penny's getting like positive reinforcement for it. Like, he's getting the, for lack of a better term, puff piece written by Jeff Borzello on ESPN. Like, it's a very glowing national look. Like, you and I were talking about it off the air, that, okay, we didn't, you and I didn't learn anything that we didn't know, but if you're a casual college basketball fan, you're sitting there going, oh, good for him. Like, it's,
and you know what struck me the most from that piece was the humility and the low ego nature of Penny Hardaway's comments. And the fact that he acknowledged, this is harder than I thought it was going to be. It is such a difference because Borzello roped in the all the smoke comments, right, from back in the beginning. And that was a different version of Penny Hardaway than the Penny Hardaway who exists now. And that is shown in the way this team competes and in the chemistry dynamics on the roster, because it all starts with the head coach, right? And we've got a Penny Hardaway right now who is more humble and lower ego than at any point in his 7-year run.
Cobb, that
is paying dividends throughout the roster, and that's resonating throughout the roster. It's resonating throughout the coaching staff, and the results are following.
Cobb, compare it. Forget the all the smoke era. Let's compare this to last summer when Penny was, you know, after the David Jones thing, he was doing one of the, I don't remember if it was the Liberty Bowl scramble that they do in the summer or if it was the Pro-Am at Spring Creek that they do in conjunction with the playoff event. Like, he was very short, like, irritated, everything. He went on a local radio station and basically was just saying, like, I can be doing something else. Like, I'm not appreciated. Like, and you compare that to just 5 months later, 6 months later, and the way that he has completely carried himself, it is like you're hearing a completely different coach. I don't know if that's Ed Scott, but I don't think it hurts. Like,
no, not at all. I think we got to give Nolan Smith and Mike Davis some credit here. 100%. On the court,
and like, right? That's the other thing. It's like, okay, yes, it was chaotic when he had the Bloody Tuesday in September, and everybody's sitting there looking at the time frame like, oh, this is weird. But you can make the argument, like, the results of, like, I don't know if he has his old staff, if they're still here 20-4. Like, it's possible. I don't rule that out. But the fact that he has, like, the staff feels much more cohesive. And another thing that I've taken note of, and maybe there are two explanations for it, but you're not hearing about all the other drama that comes with Tiger basketball. And maybe, you know, Munz has also pointed out, well, it's also possible, because Munz and I kind of see it the same way. We've covered good teams, we've covered bad teams. Guess what? Almost all teams at some point have some locker room issues. There's just egos involved, like, it doesn't matter. But we focus on the teams that lose, and we talk about bad locker room. And the teams that win, good locker room.
Oh, yeah. I've heard some stories, like, for example, last year at Vandy, about how it disintegrated in the locker room under Jerry Stackhouse.
Well, I believe George Ruggiero, who's producing the morning show for me this week, he pointed out, like, Auburn had to turn around an airplane because of an in-team flight. Auburn. Like, the unquestioned number one seed right now. Like, that's kind of the point I'm making. But the fact that you're not hearing the drama, because Munz's point is, well, what if they've done a good job patching up the leaks? And that's the other thing. My deal is, even if that is the case, that to me is also a plus. Like, that's kind of the sign of, like, you got the program in order. Everybody's moving in the same direction.
It's buttoned up. And I think you give Penny credit for, he's kind of one of the last of his breed at this point, because with Mike Woodson set to step down to Indiana, Jerry Stackhouse out at Vanderbilt after last season, Patrick Ewing has now been out for 2 years, and then Juwan Howard, the former NBA megastars who were a fad, a trend. Juwan Howard had a lot of success early on at Michigan, and it sort of sparked this idea of, like, let's go find us an NBA all-star to go and hire. But the truth of the matter is, there's no guarantee that's going to work. Penny Hardaway has stuck around long enough to figure out how to make it work. And he was right when he said, I don't have to do this.
Yes.
I could go do something else.
True.
Most college basketball coaches aren't in that position. You know why? Because if they went out to go do something else, they'd be taking a massive cut to their income. Penny Hardaway doesn't need the money, right? Most college basketball coaches would have to change their lifestyle dramatically if they went to go do something else. So they have no choice but to try and figure it out. And then if it doesn't work out, they get fired and they'll live off the buyout, right? But that's not the situation for Penny. He he had a choice. Like, he could have said, you know what, I'm over this. I'm over this. And I wouldn't have blamed him in the least after the anonymous letter, after the AD change, after whatever you want to point to that could have been the straw that broke the camel's back. And yet here we are. And I'll admit, man, when I heard Barzella was in town a few weeks ago, I was like, uh-oh.
Hit piece.
Like, because you don't know, right? Like, you don't know. Like, what's he doing?
No, it's like anytime Tim McMahon would show up with the Grizzlies, like, uh-oh, here comes the job piece.
Did he have to be here in the flesh to file a records request?
Yeah.
Or like, what's going on?
What are you doing?
And it comes out today, and it's a really glowing piece that reflects everything that we've seen from this team, keeping track of it locally and from a pretty close vantage point. And so it's validating. I think that's what I took from the article. It's a validation on the national level by somebody who could pick from any number of quality stories right now. I mean, there's glowing stories out there on Pat Kelsey at Louisville. I just did a big piece on Mark Byington at Vandy. St. John's and Rick Pitino are getting their shine, and yet ESPN's lead college basketball writer came to Memphis to write about Penny Hardaway.
I also think the other reason why I think it was really important is this path to me feels way more sustainable. Because while P.J. Haggerty's been great, it's not like P.J. Haggerty was a given that he's going to... This wasn't getting Kendrick. Like, yes, P.J. had good like, box score numbers, like, on a really bad team. But there was, like, serious questions of, is this just a guy putting up huge numbers on a bad team, you know, that we oftentimes see? No, turns out he was a winning basketball player, but it's not like they just were fishing in these deep waters getting guys that everybody was trying to get. I mean, heck, I think P.J. Carter was set to go to Rice.
For sure. And he's actually somebody who could come back, which is big. Because
with Haggerty, you've got...
For one of his years at Campbell. You get him back, you get Haggerty back, you got a nice little duo there. And I think... I have to double check on this, but I think Dane Danger could come back because when he was at Baylor his freshman year, he only played in three games. I think that was injury related. If it's injury related, he could come back. So you got at least a chance to bring more than one player back next season, which is what you were going into this year with. And then, you continue to get the portal guys. Memphis does not have college basketball's most expensive roster.
Yeah.
And I think that's your point. It's sustainable because it's not, well, here are the guys that Penny had a connection with via the grassroots circuit,
yep,
and they're just coming to play for their coach. Or it's not, oh, Penny is getting the five-star guy. It's Penny has put together a solid basketball team with good but not just otherworldly transfers. And
so
they could go out and do that again next year without a doubt.
Feels very sustainable. All right, we want to talk a little SEC hoops, but we got to take a break. So when we come back, Jason Smith's going to join the program. We'll get his thoughts on the Tigers tonight. They take on USF. We'll get his thoughts on what we just discussed, see if he agrees with us. We'll do that next, right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
The winners just keep on coming in Zen Sports VIP Players Club sweepstakes. Another Tennessee exclusive grand prize winner has just been picked for the January sweepstakes, and now Zen Sports is keeping up the momentum by introducing its new VIP Players Courtside sweepstakes for February. This month, one grand prize winner will win two VIP tickets to the Men's Basketball Conference Championship game in Nashville and a $10,000 bonus bet on any tournament game or an alternative prize of $10,000 cash. You'll earn entries on every bet you place in February and every dollar you wager. Plus, you'll earn 10 times the entries on all parlay bets. You don't want to miss out on this. And if you're not the grand prize winner, no sweat. You'll still also have a chance to win one of 10 small prizes, which grant you two tickets to any men's regional basketball tournament game and a $1,000 bonus bet on the tournament or a $250 cash prize. That's not all. All new customers who sign up using code JEFFTN, J-E-F-F-T-N, you will receive 500 bonus entries. Head on over to zensports.com/sweepstakes for a full list of rules, and you'll also earn a $100 no-danger first wager. Zen Sports, betting just got better. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. $5 minimum wager to qualify for entry. Terms and conditions apply. Full contest rules at zensports.com/sweepstakes. No danger, first wager, limited to plus 500 odds. Jason Smith is the co-host of the Jason and John Show. Weekdays right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. You can follow him on Twitter on X at JasonSmith929. Jason, is this the most stable Penny Hardaway basketball team we've seen?
Yeah. I mean, it's a better conference record than what, you know, Kendrick Davis and that DeAndre Williams team had. It's Penny Hardaway's best ever start in the American. I mean, we're past the start at this point with just seven left. And then you'd have to go back to Josh that one year. I think Josh topped this, at least for a start. It was a finish too, because there was a 16-0 in CUSA. And then, yeah, you got to take it back to the Cal years. And so, we still knew that Kendrick Davis team was good, and we've held it up as sort of his best one, even though, obviously, I mean, I can't remember how many conference losses it had, maybe three, maybe four. I can't remember what it ended up being, more than this one's going to have. But that said, I mean, again, when you look at what this team's doing offensively, and I think particularly since they moved Dane into the starting lineup, I want to say it's 5 out of 6 over 50% from the floor. Could be a little off on that, but the offense has been more balanced. No, you're not winning by the margin necessarily that you know, Vegas on some of these thought you should. But for the most part, what we're watching is an offense that at one time early this year, remember that first Wichita State game, you know, it was turnover after turnover, and you were well above 15 in several spots there, and it was happening consistently. They have since cleaned it up, particularly from a turnover issue. You know, the offensive rebounding and fixing the boards, you know, that's as, you know, it's only so fixable because you can't go out there. There's no trade deadline. There's nobody to get, you know, there's no Naquan Tomlins out there. But for the most part, that effort's been a heck of a lot better, and I know compared to the first Temple effort on the boards, where I think you were out-rebounded by 24 to this one, where you were, you know, compared to what you did the first time, you handled yourself much better. You know, you like the effort better as well. So between execution effort and a defense that typically has still been able to get the stops when it needs to in this league, I just think there's a lot to like about this Memphis team, the way it's playing at this time of year. Because, again, it was a little bit earlier there in that stretch against Wichita State where, yeah, they were winning, but they were winning ugly, and there were some serious warts. And I think Penny's done a pretty good job cleaning at least one of those warts with the turnovers up for now.
So, Jason, on Saturday on CBS, before Big Ten action, we're going to have the bracket reveal. It's been a long time since this has been
top
relevant.
Top four reveal, right? It's the top 16 or the top four seeds?
The top 16, right?
I was wondering when you were going to start that. I was like, this feels about right this week.
There's a chance that Memphis could be a part of that. They could be included as a four seed. I mean, I guess it's within the realm of possibility that a favorable selection committee would even look at them as a three, maybe, in an ideal world. I mean, where are you at on if they take care of business tonight at South Florida? Would you expect for Memphis to be listed as a top four seed in that early bracket reveal this weekend?
I'm not expecting it. I hope that I'm wrong, and I'll be happy to be wrong. The AP ranking and where they are in the polls would suggest it, but I you know, metrically, whether it's KenPom, whether it's the net, what is it, 42, 44, 45, somewhere in that range, that doesn't like you as much. And, you know, again, when you've got, unfortunately, these teams that are even behind you have the ability to jump you even going into this weekend because they can get a better win, a more quality win, a quad one win where you can't. I just, you know, it'd be great to have Memphis there to start. But I'm not as high. Maybe, and I don't know if Cobb, if you're there, you mentioned it. We had Giannotto on today, who's still paying close enough attention to the Tigers from Chicago, the former beat writer and columnist. You know, I'm not holding out hope for a three. I don't think there's any, because you've got too many teams, again, even the ones behind you, that can be jumped ahead because of the opportunities. And so my kind of way I'm looking at it, the way I think John and I both come to agree, you know, I'm holding out hope for a four as the best you can get, and thinking that a five, even perhaps with a, you know, perhaps an upset loss in the conference semifinals, is still there. But I think three's on the high end. I think in the end, when you're looking at some of these, you know, you haven't had a quad one opportunity. I mean, how long ago was it? You know, that's kind of what you said about PJ Haggerty too. You know, other than those AP polls, you know, I don't know how much of the college basketball world's been paying much attention to Memphis because of this league that it's in. And so for all those reasons, I probably, and just, you know, we're always waiting to get the short end here in Memphis. I probably don't expect them to be in that initial 16, but I do think for everything we just laid out there in that first answer, that this team's absolutely got a, you know, a real shot to do something this program hadn't done since 09. That's like a Sweet 16.
I think, right, the last Q1 is Ole Miss.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Is like, Cobb's right, and I'm hoping it's not going to hurt P.J. Haggerty. I think, you know, he's been on enough of these, you know, first and second team All-American, you know, mid-season list, and we've got him up for the Jerry West, obviously, the hope, you know, and the fact that he's, what, top three in scoring, and you have a Memphis team that looks like it'll be at least a top five seed. I'm hoping that's enough because his numbers, you know, what the way he's shooting, his efficiency, say he should win the award. But back to the point, you have been playing in an AAC for the last 11 games that nobody gives a damn about in terms of college basketball experts. And so, again, this idea they're going to have you ready to be, You know, although I would say with what you did in the non-conference that you deserve to be there. Don't get me wrong. I think they deserve it. I just don't think they'll be there. That said, I don't think Memphians should take it as a slight, although we typically do when we're not where we want to be. I would concentrate again on, you know, it's the one thing to win, you know, cover these lines, whatever, win comfortably against this bad competition. But I want to see what we've seen, which is a team that looks like it's reaching its best version of itself as you get deeper into the season. There were a few weeks back, looked like it was going the other way, despite the fact that they were winning. Penny's got that turned around.
All right, switching gears on you a little bit. Where are you with the Grizzlies? We're now at the All-Star break. Cobb and I started the show with some of our confessions, and I think the truth is we've kind of both netted out at the same place, which is we acknowledge it's a good team, but we also feel like there's some teams we'd like to see the Grizzlies avoid in the playoffs. Where are you?
I was at the point of concern, I would say, before last night and after last night's loss. And I know no Ja Morant, no Vince Williams Jr., I think, makes a difference for you there on the boards, especially what he was able to do the game before. I've gone from concerned, Jeffrey, to sum this up as quickly and as succinctly as possible, to troubled. Cobb was running through the marks a little bit. He went down through what you are in the West. I had the mark of 3-10 against the other five top six teams. Jeffrey, you heard this one because you had Harrington on this morning. I think it's even more troubling because three of those four, right, are three of the top four defenses. Three of those five teams that you're up in the top six with are three of the best defensive teams in the league. And against those teams, OKC included, obviously. Houston as well, and the Clippers, you're 1-7. And so, listen, it's 12-0 against the bottom five, the teams that, you know, maybe Phoenix jumps in there in the play-in or whatever else, but it's 12-0. It's 16-4, as Kyle pointed out, against the East. Against the rest of the league, against the teams you're probably going to face in the playoffs, it ain't good in the top six, 3-10. And so, yes, you can look on paper, see them in the two spot in the West, see them at 36-18 and feel great that they're ahead of what a lot of national folks had in terms of their projections for Memphis, way ahead in terms of season win total. But that said, if you look deeper, in any of us here in Memphis that have watched this team, honestly, we've seen enough at this point. They have been consistently coming up short against the better teams in this league and the ones that you are going to be measured against ultimately in the playoffs. And so how could you not be at least concerned? Like I said, John and I both have moved it to troubled because, listen, a good Ja Morant helps all of this. But, you know, this dependence on Zach Edey to be Steven Adams. Okay, see, he's run off the, you know, can that hold up? Cobb was touching on that. Can he hold up and do what he needs to do in the playoffs? Or Jalen Wells, even Vince Williams Jr. going to be ready to take it up that level now that you decided, you know, well, we don't need to see Marcus Smart and the playoffs, we need to get off this money. So I just think, you know, as good as things are on paper, what you got the fourth best net rating in the league. If you're looking at that mark 3-10 against the other top five teams in the top six, and not concerned, I think you're fooling yourself. So, you know, how much can you improve that with Vince Williams Jr. and Gigi Jackson, these guys that you're trying to get, you know, up to speed in your rotation? We'll see because they decide to stand pat. And eventually, I mean, we're looking, let's just the bottom line this. If we're looking at a first round exit, just Giannotto touched on the same thing we've been saying. You're looking at a first round exit this year. If you mess around and get a 3-6 with the Clippers or a 5-4 with the Clippers, either way, you know, there's going to be a lot of, a lot of answers that people are going to want in terms of, okay, well, what's going to be the change? And why didn't you do more? Why didn't you offer more? You were clearly active, but you didn't get anything done at the trade deadline. Or, again, you could take it back to the preseason where Cobb was one of these guys. Y'all really going to bank this hard on Zach Edey, a rookie center holding up a guy that we questioned whether the foot speed would do it? He's been better than I think some of us thought he would be. But is he ready for the playoffs? Is he going to hold up against an OKC or a Clippers? You know, those are all questions, particularly when you look at the record against the better teams that I think are, you know, at this point, if they're answered, it's not a good answer. You know, what we're telling ourselves is that they're unanswered. Let's wait till they're all, you got everybody healthy and everything else. Well, there's not much more time to wait.
Jason, can I interest you in this weekend's NBA All-Star Mini Tournament?
Mm.
The Cobb, I'm trying to get John. I had this big-brained idea, but Drew dismissed us today. Said the players wouldn't do it. The one-on-one that they're doing is part of the unrivaled. NBA players are not going to do one-on-one. We know that. It's like LeBron, the dunk contest. You got too much with the image. But why would they not do a two-on-two or a three-on-three? And again, if you make it bracket style, you take the 24 all-stars you got, maybe you can bump it up. But 24, hell, that's 8 3-man teams, or it's 12 two-man teams. Think about Jalen Williams and SGA being on the team. There's going to be a pride with that. My point is Cobb, rather than, you know, Silver telling us all, hey, All-Star Weekend's going to be great because I'm going to have Sabrina and Steph out here again. It's failed. It was the best thing they had last year. They blew it this year. They don't have it. They have a game that's not competitive whatsoever on Sunday that nobody wants to watch anymore. Scrap it. Just like we scrapped tackling with the NFL Pro Bowl. Like at some point
game.
You evolve. And that's what I'm saying. Scrap the game on Sunday and make it a 2-on-2 or a 3-on-3. Sure, maybe initially some players will be like, nah, I'm not going to play hard in that either. I could still get hurt. But I think you'd have enough of these young guys and maybe enough of those unique pairings that maybe you answer your competitive issue, your competitive problem immediately. And sure, you put a nice fat money prize up there that never hurts. But I just think even, you know, those guys, it's one thing when you can hide your effort behind a whole team that's not playing hard. It's another thing when you're 2-on-2 or 3-on-3 out there and there's a little bit more pride on the line. Not enough so much that you can run off like a 1-on-1. I just think it's something that Silver should consider rather than all this junk he's throwing on the wall. I mean, back in November, he was telling us, oh, Sabrina and Steph are going to do it again. They can't help it. They loved it. And here you were negotiating with them, what, up until last week, last month, and couldn't get it done. Stop trying to throw this junk at this thing and all these antics and actually, you know, try to get it back competitive. I think we should evolve and look at something outside the box that really could change things like that.
Jason, we really appreciate it, my man.
Y'all take care.
Jason Smith of the Jason and John Show, weekdays right here on 92.9 FM ESPN from 11 until 2. When we come back, we tell your story next right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM ESPN. For today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story, our boy Carl Ravich was the latest to fall victim of the 82 and the SEC. I don't know how good it is. It's 82 and 82 since conference play. It's a trend that's sweeping the nation. He landed on Twitter and fired this one off. Just landed and CX is on fire. Simple explanation. Tongue-in-cheek 82 and 82 record was to illustrate any night either team can win and one will. Clearly very poor execution on my part. It is amazing that Alabama Auburn have only lost once in such a great conference. That's all.
He didn't want to own it.
Yeah, then he had to follow up with 4 hours after landing and reading all of the responses. It's overwhelming. I will heed the advice of all my ex-friends and take the L. My bad, my mistake. Always appreciate the feedback and grateful for the audience. A bunch of games left. Let's enjoy them. That's the only play. Like, you just got to be like, hand up.
Yeah, so somebody asked Mark Pope at Kentucky about it, tongue in cheek. And he almost spit out his Diet Coke when he was asked about it.
Yeah.
And he said, we got to pick it up. This is embarrassing.
Yeah, this is embarrassing. 500 league. It is living up to expectations. All right, my man, I appreciate you.
Yeah, man, thanks.
He, of course, is David Cobb of CBS Sports. Follow him on Twitter at David W. Cobb. For Dennis, for Cobb, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. Gabe Kuhn Show's coming up next.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.